When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Chad Young.
Hello and welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. As the man said, my name is Chad Young. Let's dive into the news and notes on this Monday morning. Yordan Alvarez placed on the IL. He's had a hand issue and it is apparently getting worse, not better. Going to the IL now will let him rest through the All-Star break and hopefully that will be it. He is meeting with team doctors before a timeline is set, so we'll hopefully hear more soon. Jose Siri called up to take his spot. Siri isn't a bad deep league source of speed, but he isn't much more than that, and he doesn't replace Alvarez at all. James McCann also headed to the IL, Patrick Mazaika up to replace him. McCann hasn't been hitting at all, so if you're rostering him and losing him to the IL, you can just drop him for whatever you find on the wire. Another catcher headed to the IL is Mitch Garver. He's on the 10-day IL, but that 10 days is really just a placeholder. Garver having season-ending surgery on his flexor tendon. He's droppable in all formats, including keeper leagues. The Cubs activated Drew Smyly from the IL, then spotted him a 5-0 lead against the Dodgers, and he gave almost all of it back. Smyly finished with 4 earned runs on 5 hits and 2 innings, strikeout and a walk. Smyly came into the game with a 3.8 ERA, but that didn't really accurately reflect how poorly he's pitched so far this season. While he's been great in the past, he hasn't been effective since 2020, and that's not really worth your attention for now. The Rays made a flurry of moves on Sunday. Kevin Kiermaier, Jeffrey Springs, and Wander Franco all hit the IL. Kiermaier's had some hip tightness, which impacted him earlier this year as well, and it's unclear how long he'll be away. Spring has been dealing with a calf issue on the same leg he had knee surgery on previously, so the team wants to be sure he is okay. Sounds like it might be a short IL stint, but not totally sure yet. And Franco, obviously the big one here. Wander Franco has a broken hamate bone, and that hand injury will keep him out 6 to 8 weeks. That puts his return in late August or maybe early September. That is a big hit for both the Rays and fantasy managers. The big call-ups to replace them were Josh Fleming, who seems likely to start for Springs today against Boston, and Jonathan Aranda. Aranda's an exciting prospect, has been handling AAA just fine, but hasn't been given much of a shot in MLB. That may change now with Franco out, but Taylor Walls got the start at shortstop and hit third on Sunday, so we'll have to see how Aranda is used. He may be splitting time at second base. Starling Marte, who left Saturday's game for the Mets early, is not headed to the IL. He's considered day-to-day. With the All-Star break coming up so soon, you got to assume the Mets think he'll be ready to play today, maybe tomorrow. If you're going to be out even a couple of days, the IL would make more sense. The Angels sent Chase Silseth back to the minors. He's been up and down, and while his minor league performance has been good, he really struggled for the Angels. He'll likely be back in the majors before too long, but he doesn't have much fantasy value until he figures out how to translate his strikeouts from the minors to the majors. Bruce Zimmerman, who was just recalled from the minors Saturday and then pitched one inning in relief, was sent back to AAA. Zimmerman had a nice start to the year and got some chatter as a result, but it's always been smoke and mirrors, and the fall-off is not a huge surprise. Alex Faedo and Daniel Lynch should both be back to their respective teams and should be going head-to-head today. Faedo was recently sent down, but looks like he'll be back to pitch in the doubleheader, while Lynch will be facing off against him on his return from the IL. Neither's been good, but they both have pretty good matchups with each other in this one, so if you're really desperate for streamers on Monday, they're not terrible choices, although they're not very good ones. A couple players who were removed from game Sunday. Brian Reynolds removed from the Pirates game, and while there was some trade speculation, it was discomfort in his right side that got him pulled. That could be nothing. It could be an oblique. It could be something more. It's hard to say. Pirates are in Miami today, so we should know more soon. Whit Merrifield also removed from his game Sunday, which also sparked a bit of a hug watch, but it was also an injury, a toe injury for him. He'll be reevaluated before we know next steps. With a doubleheader today, you'd think the Royals would act fast, whatever they need to do. possibly related to Witt's injury. Michael Garcia being called up from AA by the Royals. The KC prospect has played shortstop in the minors, but could fill in for Witt while he's out. Garcia isn't much of a hitter, but is 27 for 30 on stolen bases already this year. So if he's playing regularly, he could be a source of cheap speed, though probably short-term, and I would wait to see usage before I act. Jeff McNeil headed to the paternity list, so he'll be away from the Mets for a few days. That's a pretty nice way to celebrate making the All-Star team as well. And finally, Atlanta traded for Robinson Cano, acquiring him from San Diego for cash considerations. It seems sort of ridiculous to still be talking about Cano, but he's been hitting in AAA, so maybe he can still provide some value. I'm not holding out hope, though. On to the game action from Sunday. Austin Riley snubbed from the All-Star game, and it was definitely a snub. He's been excellent. But he also went 3-for-6 with a home run, 3 RBIs, and 5 hard-hit balls in this one. Dansby Swanson also had 3 hits, including a double. Both of them have just been excellent for the ATL. Wilmer Flores had a day, going 4-for-6, 2 home runs, 2 runs, 4 RBIs. He was facing Mackenzie Gore, and he is just a must-start against left-handed pitching. Carlos Santana also had a pair of home runs. He has been on fire since coming to Seattle. And while the average is never pretty, he is a good source of cheap power and a really nice bat in OBP leagues. Josh Lowe has had a rough go for the Rays so far, but he was 2-for-4 with a home run, an RBI, and 2 runs on Sunday. Over his last 4 starts, he's 5-for-18 with a walk and 3 extra base hits, and has only 3 strikeouts over that time as well. That's big progress for him. I still think he's going to be a productive hitter, and buying in at the right time can be very profitable. It may be that that time is now. As of May 29th, Max Stassi was having a very solid season by catcher standards, and that day he had his 4th home run in what had only been 94 plate appearances to that point. He then went another 100 plate appearances before finally hitting another home run on Sunday. He still has talent, and he could be a very useful fantasy catcher, so if he gets hot and you need help at catcher, maybe you lost James McCann or Mitch Garver, or just have a bad catcher like so many of us do, you could do worse than riding a Max Stassi hot streak. Billy Hamilton has played in 7 games, had 5 plate appearances, and has stolen 3 bases for the Marlins in that time. It seems sort of crazy to say, but if you're desperate for stolen bases, he will provide them, it seems, even if it's literally nothing else, not even at bats. A much better source of stolen bases, of course, is John Birdie, who stole his 27th in that one. Ke'Bryan Hayes has not had the breakout season many called for, me included, but he's 3-for-4 with a double and a home run on Sunday, walked and scored 3 runs as well. He's been running, so he's been a useful fantasy piece, but getting the bat going would do wonders. Byron Buxton continued a bit of an odd season, going 1-for-4 with a home run, struck out twice, and walked once. That walk is a big deal, as his lack of walks has left him with a sub-300 OBP to go along with his 550 slugging percentage. He's just kind of all or nothing right now, and a few more walks would really help him balance that out. Cubs keep getting production from unexpected places. Sunday it was home runs from PJ Higgins, Nelson Velasquez, and David Bode. Velasquez has 60 raw power and was flashing at AA before being moved up, but he also has big K rates, and I don't think it's likely he's going to provide a lot of value. Bode stole a base as well, but don't expect him to be much more than bench fodder in deeper leagues. A quick look, actually not that quick, a little bit of a long look at other home runs around baseball. Monty Harrison hit his first home run since 2020. Jonathan India trying to right the ship with his season, hit his 3rd. Mike Moustakas his 4th. Tyler Stevenson, just back from the IL, hit his 6th, and he could be a really valuable fantasy catcher. Randy Arozarena hit his 10th. He also doubled in that one. Rays catcher Rene Pinto hit his 2nd. Gavin Sheets hit his 7th. Javier Baez hit his 9th. Andrew McCutchen hit his 8th, and it was off of David Bednar, which is pretty impressive. O'Neill Cruz hit his 4th. Dan Vogelbach hit his 12th. Albert Pujols recaptured some of his glory days, going 3-for-4 with a home run. Kyle Schwarber hit his 28th. Corey Seager his 19th. Vimeo Machin was leading off for Oakland Sunday and hit his 1st career home run. Kyle Tucker hit his 17th on the season. Ketel Marte hit his 6th, and a couple of my teams are going to need him to improve on that quickly. Freddie Freeman, 4-for-5 with his 11th home run. Tyro Estrada hit his 7th. George Springer hit his 17th. Raimel Tapia hit his 4th. Bo Bichette his 14th. And in true Yankees Red Sox fashion, they ended the weekend with a homer barrage. Giancarlo Stanton hit number 22. Matt Carpenter number 10. Franchi Cordero his 4th. Christian Vasquez his 5th. And JD Martinez hit his 9th. Not nearly as many stolen bases. Victor Robles stole his 9th. Michael Harris his 7th. Jose Ramirez stole number 13. Kyle Isbell number 4. Jonathan Davis his 4th for Milwaukee. Matt Vierling nabbed number 3. Sky Bolt bolted to his 2nd. Aledmys Diaz got his 1st. Trey Turner stole his 17th. And Dylan Moore got number 11. Looking at the mound, there was a super fun matchup in Cincinnati, and it just didn't really pan out. Shane Baz lasted just 2 1/3, giving up 7 runs on 8 hits, including 3 home runs. He struck out 2, and I guess you could call 0 walks a positive, but those are some awfully rose-colored glasses if that's how you're looking at this one. Doesn't change my perception of Baz. If it changes the perception of someone in your league and you could buy low, I would do it. Opposite him, Nick Lodolo went 5 and gave up 3 runs on 9 hits. He did have 6 Ks and just 1 walk. I'm a big believer in him as well. Sandy Alcantara and Taiwan Walker don't seem like they belong in the same category, but they were on Sunday and kind of have been lately. Alcantara went 7 shutouts, striking out 4 and walking 1, allowing 6 hits, while Walker went 7 shutouts with 7 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 3 hits. Sandy, we expect this from, but Walker really seems to have figured something out, and this has been a very impressive run for him. Ian Anderson's start, I guess you'd say it's open to interpretation. 5 1/3 innings pitch with just 2 runs on 2 hits and 5 strikeouts all seems good, but he walked 4. He had more whiffs than any other pitcher Sunday, but it was only 14, which is a lot, but not typical leader for the day kind of numbers. His velocity was up a little and his spin rate, particularly on his curve, was up as well, but his curve also had 0 whiffs and an 18% CSW, so that extra spin didn't really help, it seems. Interestingly, Anderson, who's been throwing 47% four-seamers and 33% changeups this year, was at 40% changeups and 36% four-seamers Sunday. Given his change has been better than his fastball all year, this could be a positive development. Paulo Espino pitched well for the Nats, going 4 innings pitched, 4 strikeouts, allowing just 1 run on 6 hits with a walk. That might convince you to look up his season line and see a 3.42 ERA and 4.20 FIP and think maybe there's something there. But Espino's thrown about half his innings as a reliever, and his rates as a reliever aren't great for a reliever, and his rates as a starter aren't great for a starter, so I don't think there's anything to see here. Zach Plesac matched Ian Anderson's 14 whiffs, but his line wasn't very good. 4 runs, 3 of them earned over 5 innings pitched. He allowed 6 hits and a walk, striking out 5. But I would consider buying in on Plesac at least for good matchups. He actually pitched pretty well in this one. His velocity was up, and he just had some brutal luck. He gave up 3 runs in the 5th, and only 1 ball that inning was hit over 70 miles per hour. The Royals just kept reaching base on awful contact. Opposite him, Zach Greinke matched a season high with 5 strikeouts Sunday, shutting out the Guardians for 5 innings on 3 hits and a walk. Greinke more innings eater than ace these days, and this start shouldn't change that. But when he has good matchups, especially at home in a good pitcher's park, he can be useful for your rates. There's just no K upside, which makes him risky. There were already concerns about Michael Kopech pitching through injury as he struggled lately, and then his velocity was down almost 3 miles per hour Sunday. Despite that, he lasted 82 pitches. We've seen teams pull starting pitchers quickly amid velocity drops, so this was sort of a bit surprising. Kopech wasn't bad, 5 1/3 innings, just 2 runs and 4 hits, but 4 strikeouts is a bit low for him, and 3 walks is a real concern. Even when he was pitching well earlier in the year, Kopech was surviving thanks to a low, in fact, a 0 home run per fly ball rate. He was probably a sell high a month or so ago, and I'm not sure what he'll really bring in a trade now. You have to wonder if an IL stint is coming. A couple guys I don't really trust looked good in Oakland Sunday. Jake Odorizzi, 7 shutout, giving up 4 hits and a walk, striking out 7 and lowering his ERA to 3.38 on the year. Cole Irvin lowered his ERA to 3.32 with 2 runs over 6 innings pitched, giving up 5 hits and no walks with just 2 strikeouts. Odorizzi is at best a matchup play and really not my first choice even at that, even with the A's coming up again. Irvin has the Astros again, and I am certainly not betting on him to repeat, especially with just 2 Ks. Herman Marquez and Tyler Gilbert both pitched well on the surface, but Marquez shutting down the D-backs while Gilbert shuts down the Rockies in a game that wasn't at Coors, that there's just not a ton to build on there, especially given they combined for just 5 strikeouts in 12 2/3 innings. I just don't really see where you use either of them much, if at all. Julio Urias just didn't have it Sunday, gave up 5 runs all in the first inning, only lasted 2 innings. He struck out 3 and walked 1, but just couldn't keep it together. 8 whiffs and 59 pitches actually isn't bad, nor is a 29% CSW, so I think you just write this off and expect to bounce back. Alex Wood had a 5.05 ERA through June 23rd. He's got that down to 4.43 now, just 3 starts later, after going 7 shutout against the Padres. He struck out 8 and walked 1 in this one, allowing 3 hits. Wood is capable of putting up some great starts, and I would ride the hot streak while you can. Mackenzie Gore's velocity was down below 94, and that is the 5th straight start that's happened, and it showed here. He got lit up for 8 runs and 3 1/3. He might need like an IL stint, a trip to the pen, maybe some time in AAA to try to get right, but he is not right now. In a tough matchup, Logan Gilbert held his own, striking out 7 and walking none over 6, giving up 4 runs and 9 hits, including a couple home runs. He's good. He just isn't matchup proof, and the Jays are a tough one. Jameson Taillon and Nick Pivetta both got hit hard. I don't love either. Taillon has really struggled lately, but these were tough matchups and shouldn't massively change your view on either of them. In the bullpens, Alexis Diaz got the ninth for the Reds in a 5-run game. It was a non-save situation, but given the Reds' struggles, you got to wonder if they didn't go to the guy they think of as their closer trying to shut this one down. He provides plenty of strikeouts, and if he controlled the walks, he could be really interesting. Tanner Scott got a save in the 10th for the Marlins. 2 strikeouts and a walk. It was his 12th save. Edwin Diaz kept that game tied in the 9th for the Mets, but the Mets never managed to plate a run. Kendall Graveman threw a scoreless 8th in a tie game, and then the Sox scored twice in the bottom of the 8th that allowed Liam Hendricks to go 1-2-3 on 9 pitches for his 17th save on the year. Hendricks was off the IL recently, and his velocity was down when he first came back, but he never had a rehab assignment, and Sunday his velocity was right back where you'd expect it, so I think all systems go moving forward. David Bednar in to hold a 4-run lead when he gave up the 2-run shot to McCutcheon. No save, but he did close it out. Bednar's velocity was down a bit, but he was working his second straight and his third time in 4 days. I'm really not sure why they used him up 4 in this one. Ryan Helsley got his 7th save in a perfect 9th. Jordan Hicks took the 8th and struck out 1 in a 1-2-3 inning. Sir Anthony Dominguez took a loss on Sunday, giving up a run in the 8th, not helping his cause if he wants to close. Tyler Duffy got his 2nd save for the Twins. The Twins have only completed 3 saves since June 14th, and they've gone to 3 different pitchers. Your guess is as good as mine. Daniel Bard back in the 9th for Colorado for his 18th save. Alex Colome got the hold in the 8th. Ruster Gratterall got his 3rd save of the year, did so getting 6 outs. This is not a changing of the guard, though. Dave Roberts said before the game that Evan Phillips and Craig Kimbrell were unavailable. After Urias spotted the Cubs 5 and Phil Bickford gave up 3 more, the Dodgers got 6 innings of 1-run ball from Yency Almonte, Caleb Ferguson, Alex Vesia, David Price, and Gratterall to lock down a comeback win. Adam Simber has pitched well this year, but gave up a couple of runs in the 8th to blow the save for the Jays. Those couple of runs came courtesy of a Gabriel Moreno error and the 2nd Carlos Santana home run. That allowed the M's to get the win, which meant that Paul Sewald came in to lock down his 10th save and the sweep for the Mariners. Let's take a look at the weather with our friend Mark Paquette.
Thank you very much. Well, the quiet weather will continue across the country on a short slate for Monday. Well, it's a normal slate for Monday, but short for a normal day. Yeah, there will be no rain issues, so go ahead and play away, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Mark. Looking at Monday's action, I mentioned Lynch and Fieto earlier as desperation plays, and that same doubleheader, a decent streaming option to Michael Pineda. He's in a park that doesn't give up a lot of home runs, and against a weak lineup, not a bad place to use him. Oakland and Texas, not great offenses, but there are some decent bats in those two teams, and the starting pitchers in that one are not great, so I would look to use my bats from both of those teams. In terms of what I'm watching on this Monday, there's some great pitching matchups, Max Fried and Max Scherzer, Aaron Nola and Miles Michaelis, but what I really want to look at is Trevor Rogers trying to get his season pointed in the right direction. There have been some positive signs lately. I'm curious to see what he can do on Monday. By the way, as you're setting your weekly lineup, some things to keep note of. The Padres have 4 games in Coors this week. The Pirates have 3 games in Coors, and the Rockies are therefore, of course, home all week. The Reds are on the road all week, though half of those are in Yankee Stadium, which will help ease the pain of not having those Great American Ballpark games. Lastly, the Rangers and Angels lead all of baseball in stolen bases allowed. The Rangers are hosting Oakland and Seattle, while the Angels have Houston and the Dodgers. Those teams are teams you'll want to look at for speed if you're looking to add some stolen bases this week. Don't forget to go check out the SP Roundup, Batter's Box, and Reliever Ranks. Turn you over to the rest of the team for the week, and I'll be back with you on Friday.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at PitcherList. And help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.